Greetings, dear ones. I'm Cryon of Magnetic Service. There should be no reason for any anxiety that my partner would feel in a channel such as this. In the hundreds of times he has sat in the chair, and through the portal which is his higher self comes in clean. A message from a messenger he is very familiar with. And yet there is anxiety. And there always is when he is in the shadow of the mountain of Lemuria. For this is an energy which he recognizes but does not recognize. Things which are hidden from him in his Akash. And so the energy of where you sit now is ripe for information that I wish to bring and that he is wary of, only because he's home. For the listener, we tell where we are sitting so that the listener will understand and know who is not here in your time frame. First of all, you were upon the water. But in this particular situation, you're not moving. In the past, channels have been given, which were easier for my partner because you were moving. That is to say, there was no grounding element at all. But there is, here and now, for although you are floating, and although you are anchored, it is a dichotomy, you might say. Are you grounded or are you not grounded? It's a combination that produces an energy which is unique. The water is reflective. And so the energy indeed is similar. Reflective of the past, reflective of history, reflective of you and your part that you might have played in this place. You literally sit in the shadow of the mountains of Lemuria. And if I could take you back, there would be no harbor here. And as we have said before, the peaks of these mountains were far, far higher than they are now. For a geological anomaly in a hot spot took place where there was a bulge in the crust of the earth that pushed this mountain higher. Not quite all the way out of the water, but enough so that the peaks that you would call the Hawaiian Islands were always covered with snow and ice, and there were glaciers that formed. And yet the peaks where the work was done that was sacred. And it gives an entire different feeling to the paradise of the tropics that you experience now, because it was cold. And now my partner gets information about himself that he does not know. Perhaps that is why he is apprehensive. My partner does not like the cold to this day. He has selected those areas of his life literally for hundreds of lifetimes that would never again put him in a situation where he had frozen winters. And he knows the lifetimes that have been showed by the readers of where he's been and what he has done. Even to the next lifetime of where he's going, and none of them have winters because of what happened here. For my partner, the one who sits in the chair, the human being, who is the Lemurian who you are looking at, and knows he is, was a messenger. And the job of the messenger in Lemuria was to run up and down these hills, from those areas which were not cold to the areas which were, carrying the messages of those who needed to communicate, for there was no other way. And so he was constantly cold. There are places that he has not visited on this island for that very reason. And he will not trod for that very reason. The pathways bring up too much of a memory for him of being uncomfortable. And it carries through his Akash from the time he was Lemurian to this day. Now that explains some things to him personally, not to you. These are the times in this energy which I wish to reveal things about the earth, about Lemuria, about how things transpired. And each year that goes by seems to clear the communication, allowing for something to be given that is more succinct for you, so you will have a better understanding of the plan that took place on this planet and when it occurred. A plan that actually then graduated and started something in this very place that was different from any other place on the planet. The plan may have been planetary wide, but here it was sequestered and grew at a rate and created a civilization, literally, that could not occur any other place because of the sequestering of this mountain. The humans here couldn't get off it. And so literally thousands of years occurred when this particular mountain was pushed up out of the water and a civilization lived upon it that helped create what we will call the soul seeds of the cave of creation. There are a lot of Lemurians awakening as old souls on this planet who had a turn taken on this mountain. And the ones that sit in the chairs today are among them all. And you feel it. At some level, you feel it. There are some things that are hiding in the scheme of this planet, including the consciousness of Gaia itself, that has to do with you. Now, I've just shown my partner what we're going to do. And now he's even more anxious. For when we get into the history and the dates and the concepts that he has not seen before, he gets nervous. He wants it to be correct, accurate, true. And so I say to him, just stay clear. The words will come out perfectly. They will come out logically. For this is the promise, and always has been, that the synthesis of a multidimensional being called Kryon will meld in a confluence of energy that creates a three-dimensional structured conversation. And that is his gift. And so I wish to again give you the time frame of the seeding of this planet of those that you would call the Pleiadians. It has been confusing in the past, but not only do I give you the time frame that is unscrambling a puzzle from previous channels, I'm going to give you a fact that we have never spoken of, that starts to explain something on the planet, a question that never was asked. It's one of my specialties, bringing up things no one thought of. We have said recently that 200,000 years ago was the approximate time frame of the seeding of the planet Earth with enlightenment. But a few years ago, we also told you that Lemuria was only 50,000 years old and that the seeds were here. We've also given you information about what happened 100,000 years ago. Actually, it was more like 90,000. These things would seem contradictory to each other if you felt that the descriptions were the same attribute, and they're not. So we start slowly, and we do it this way. When the Pleiadians first came, humanity was a group. Like all the other evolution on the planet, the mammal called human being had many variety. Up to 26 kinds, reduced to 17 before we got here. And that was the puzzle. For in the seeding of the planet 200,000 years ago, with the DNA that was different, things had to change. Because you had to end up with one kind of human being, the kind you have today. That kind has no variety like the other mammals. So you are unique in an evolutionary way to everything you see around you. So it was the creation of a 23-chromosomed human. When all around you, you see the 24, you have 23. So the fusing of portions of your DNA was the element of the Pleiadian who came in and gave you portions of their DNA. And in the process, many things happened simultaneously. When a farmer looks at his field and decides to grow corn, he surveys it in a different way than those who would have the attribute of eating corn. For the eater of corn would say, when did the corn exist? The eater of the corn would then be told it exists when the stalks were high and it was then culled, picked, cooked, and given to them. And that would be the beginning of corn. But the farmer, he looks at it differently. He looks at the raw land that has to then be plowed, energized, fertilized, perhaps turned over a few times, having some seasoned dirt. Perhaps he would plant it, and then he would take the seedlings as they came up and turn them into the ground again. You know the story. So the farmer would have an entirely different idea of when the corn began than the eater. And so there you have two messages, don't you? When did corn begin? One would give you one date, one another. And you would say, well, that doesn't make sense. Which is which? It depends upon who's asking. The consumer of the corn or the grower of the corn? And then there's a third one. What about the conceiver of the corn? I give you this as an example of why the dates are different. So I'm going to give you all of them, and I'm going to tell you what happened, and I'm going to be succinct. And I'm not going to draw it out. 200,000 years ago is when it literally began. The concept of the seeding of planet Earth was given at that point, and the fields metaphorically started to be plowed. There was an issue, and we're going to call it the way species work with Gaia. This is something that has happened simultaneously with the grid creation of Gaia. For now, we give you something that no one has thought about. When we speak of the grids of the planet, you make an assumption that everything we tell you has always existed on the planet. For the planet being so old, you would say, well, there, the grids always were there. And I'm here to tell you that only one was always there, and that's the magnetic grid. But it was void. That is to say, it only had that which was created from the core's movement. Today, when we talk about the grids of the planet, we tell you about the consciousness of humanity that is imbued upon the magnetics. We tell you about the crystalline. We tell you about the grid of the Gaia consciousness, which is a consciousness that reacts to human compassion. Now, here is the puzzle. If you don't have divine human consciousness, what about the grids? And so what the Pleiadians did was not only to start the seeds of humanity's change into having divine DNA, they brought the conscious grids. They had to. For grids cannot then react to consciousness that doesn't exist. And the consciousness that we are talking about is a sentient human being that stands with a piece of God inside them and with DNA with 23 chromosomes. So let us back up and say it again, and simpler, my partner. The triad of grids on this planet that we've spoken of over and over started with the seeding of humanity. They had to. For all the teachings we've been giving, especially about the crystalline grid that reacts to human consciousness and later compassion and later light, would have had no purpose to be here at all. So that's just one of the things that the Pleiadians did 200,000 years ago. And it was done quantumly, in ways that you have no conscious awareness of, for they are beyond your ability to understand at the moment. But the result was Gaia. So you might say Gaia actually was created also quantumly from the seven sisters. Now the Gaia that existed before then was still Gaia, but not as it is now. It was a Gaia that was creating dirt on the earth. A Gaia that created life on the earth. But not a Gaia that responded to human consciousness. It's very different. So Gaia expanded when the Pleiadians came. It took 110,000 years for this to settle itself, for the ground to be ready, and for 16 species of human beings to leave, so that only one was left. And when that occurred, at approximately 90,000 years ago, is when you can start calibrating who humans were. Now, what about all of those others, and how did they leave? Now I'm going to give you something that exists even today. This is difficult, for my partner has not heard it in this fashion. It may not be complete for some of you, but we sit in the shadow of the mountain of Lemuria. We are on a reflective surface. You're floating in the water, somewhat disconnected from the ground, and yet very connected through your consciousness. So this is information that has not been brought in this fashion before. Go slowly, my partner. The variety of species comes and goes accordingly as they are needed for the energy they create on the planet. And so it is one of the tasks of Gaia to create and eliminate species. When they are no longer needed for the purpose of Gaia, its development in whatever attribute, they cease to exist and they die out. If new life is necessary, if new concepts of life are necessary, Gaia is cooperative and they are created. The actual creation of species is something that environmentalists have not yet seen. That is to say, the mechanics of how it works. And it will surprise them. But you have already seen the mechanics of some of them that do not exist and die out. Now, human beings, they come along and see this and they want to save them all. For in their linear mind, all of them should remain and exist and have a right to be here. The attribute of Gaia, however, is eliminating them to bring in new ones. I just gave you the mechanics of the reasons species come and go, and the variety of species come and go. And when the Pleiadians started to change the grids of the planet and Gaia saw the attitude of what was to come, the variety of species around this earth that represented many kinds of human beings slowly died out. There was not a war. There were no horrible plagues. There were no volcanoes and tsunamis that consumed them. Over attrition, appropriateness, and 110,000 years, they disappeared. And so approximately 100,000 years ago, there was only one left. And this is science. And everything that you study will bear it out. It also starts the esoteric engine of the pattern of life on the planet, where you can start to measure the soul. The very work you're doing today, track the history. See what the intuition is of the creator of that system. When were you able to look at it succinctly? Now, how does this tie in to where you're sitting? Now we're at 90,000 years ago, and you're now looking at the beginning of the human being who had the 23 chromosomes. It took 50,000 more years for that to develop into a sentient human being who could put together a civilization, even a city. It takes generations of trial and error. It takes a very long time to cook a meal of quality. Things did not move quickly as they do today. This was the very beginning of trying to figure out how to make things work. But wisdom is this way. And the things that the Pleiadians put in place in a 23-chromosome human being, every single generation got wiser. Until the DNA hit an efficiency point that would allow for what you would see today, perhaps even a little more, where the divinity inside a human being was recognized and seen, and that was the beginning of Lemuria. Now we're at 50,000 years. It took another 20 to build the temples of rejuvenation and have the old souls of the kind that you were part of. Now we're at 30,000. And that truly is the time frame of the Lemuria we speak of now. We've told the rest of the story when the bubble began to go down that was the lift of the Earth's crust, the mountain started to sink. But in the time that we have just discussed, there were thousands of years where this mountain contained a static Lemuria that only grew and old souls went through, never repeating, never incarnating again, so that you could have the old soul experience. And these were the seeds that literally were planted here, that were not planted in other places of the planet. And I want you to say that again, my partner, and I want you to make it better. Because it's an island, and because of those thousands of years that could exist as an island, Lemuria was like a pressure cooker. And it never changed. And that which was learned here was specifically different from the other places of the planet. For humans could go and do whatever they would want, and they could. All they had to do was pick up and leave, and they couldn't do it here. And so this became the place where the Akash of humanity chose to train old souls. And you would come in one time. And then you would go back and wait. And if you incarnated, it would be in another place on the planet. Therefore, there were a lot of souls who would incarnate through 20,000 years in these mountains. That explains why so many Lemurians are on the planet now. There is an awakening going on, dear ones, and the awakening right now on this planet involves your brothers and sisters who spent time running up and down these hills. Now, my partner, I want to talk about him again. He gets cold easy. He was in the Temple of Rejuvenation many times. And this is his association with Ya'i, and some of you know who this is. For as a messenger who was one who carried sacred information, he carried the secrets. And they did not want to share those secrets with very many humans. Therefore, he had a very, very long life. Continuing to be rejuvenated in the temple as many times as even those of royalty, the messenger lived a very long time. And he spent lifetimes as one soul here. And the whole time he was here, he was cold. It explains a lot to him in his Akash, where he lives now, where he lived next time, where he lived the last time. Even as a mariner in Greece, he chose the warm parts. Now, I reach this point. I've given you the information, a timeline you didn't expect, to say this: Gaia and the grids of this planet all were born at the same time you were, through the same energies you were, from the same source you were. If you were to go to a planet that exists without a name yet, in the constellation of what you would call the Seven Sisters, a constellation which to this day is celebrated on this island, if you could go there today and talk to them, they have a name for an energy of the dirt of the earth. It's not Gaia, but it's close. They have a crystalline grid. They have a magnetic grid. They have a Gaia-like grid. All that they had was transported here. The very grids of this planet, the ones that we are calling the conscious grids, are also Pleiadian. And that is news you didn't expect. Given in an energy that can only be given as we sit here in the shadow of the mountain that used to be cold. And that's enough for today. But it's your history, Lemurian. It's your history. So here's the invitation for those who sit in front of me. You're going to set foot in the dirt of some of these islands, which is really one mountain. And when you do, you have the privilege of it being warm, so you can look around and feel it. I want you to do that. And I'm going to challenge you right now to feel what is here, for only one reason: so that you will be rejuvenated and your Akash can remember in the way, the only way it can, and that is emotionally, to validate what you already suspected. You're an old soul, and there's a reason why you're awakening now and on this particular journey. And you need to spend a little time in the dirt, talking to the energies that you used to know so well. And it'll do you good to touch the dirt of home. Oh, there's more, but that's enough for now. That's enough for now. And so it is.